Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in John Glennon from SI.com and NHL.com as well. John, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Not too much. How are you guys doing?
We're awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, John, what do you make of the Robert Woods move for the Titans? What do you think he can bring to this offense? How much of a difference can he make for Ryan Tannehill?
Well, you know, I think it's one of those situations we've seen the Titans in the last couple of years where it's a you start everything off with an if. And again, we're seeing that with Robert Woods. If he is healthy, it's a great move. You know, there's no absolute guarantee that a 30 or a soon to be 30-year-old wide receiver coming off an ACL is going to be completely healthy, and you don't know when he's going to be completely healthy. You know, we saw Bud Dupree last year kind of struggle for a good portion of that year before really, you know, coming into form towards the end of the season. But if we can assume that at some point Robert Woods is going to be very healthy, I think it's a great move. You only gave up a sixth-round pick. You know, you've got an excellent complement to A.J. Brown. You add experience in that receiver room. You know, all kinds of good things for the Titans in that regard. We know how thin the Titans were at that wide receiver position. And Robert Woods, even though he's approaching 30, we haven't seen a drop-off in terms of production at this point. So I like it for the most part if he returns to complete health.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a risk that helps explain the cost here, right, of course. But meanwhile, John, so Field Yates has, the Titans have converted, you know, about $11 million of Byard's base salary into a signing bonus, so you create almost $9 in cap space there. You know, we see teams do this all over the place. It seems to be just like the QB movement is more rampant. The cap maneuvering seems to be as well. Do you feel like it's possible that they could continue to do this enough to go get anyone of significance in the second wave of free agency? Or are you looking at this like basically they're probably about done there and it's time to pivot to the draft?
I would think more of the latter. You know, I think they've kind of filled a lot of those needs so far. And you know, when you look at what they're needy for right now, it kind of stacks up pretty well with what the draft is offering, I think, both in terms of, you know, the offensive line and in terms of, I still think, another wide receiver. You know, I think they tend to lean, in my opinion, towards the draft at this point. Another thing we have to remember about the Titans, too, is that, you know, when Julio Jones's contract comes off the books on June 2nd, they're going to get $9.5 million in further cap relief, too. And, you know, obviously, you know, a lot of people are clearly off the market by then. But at the same time, there's always, you know, some free agents that are still available, you know, in the lead up to the season, in the lead up to training camp. So, you know, keep that figure in mind, too. If the Titans are still in need of a position to fill, there's still going to be some money that they don't have at this point. But I think it's a good move, you know, the restructure with Byard. You know, with some of the restructures, you have to be concerned about, okay, this is probably going to lock a guy in, you know, for a couple more years because it's going to make him harder to get cut or harder to trade. And we saw that with the Ryan Tannehill move. You know, the restructure they did with Ryan Tannehill essentially made him uncuttable, untradeable after this year. But with Byard and the way Byard is playing, you don't see that really being a factor. I can't imagine at the end of this season, you know, or even a couple seasons from now, the Titans saying, geez, I wish we hadn't restructured because we'd really let Kevin Byard go. I don't see that being the case.
John Glennon on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John, Carson Wentz out, Matt Ryan in Indianapolis. What do you make of that move? What sort of threat is Indy to the Titans in the AFC South now with Ryan as quarterback in your mind?
I think they're a better team with Matt Ryan there than they were with Carson Wentz, certainly. You know, and I think it's a good fit, too. You know, Frank Reich you know, just a couple seasons ago, of course, was creating an offense for Phillip Rivers, you know, an older guy, you know, a good, accurate passer, older guy who's not very mobile. And now he's kind of got the same situation again with Matt Ryan. So, you know, I don't think it's a stretch to think that he can create a very good offense around Matt Ryan. I think the Colts still have some work to do in terms of the offensive line, and there's not a great cast of wide receivers up there either. So to me, in my mind, it's still a little surprising. You know, you're watching a lot of these betting lines, and all of a sudden the Colts are leapfrogging the Titans, you know, as the favorite in the AFC South. And, you know, to me, I'm not sure that is a real accurate look at, you know, projections for the AFC South right now. I think Matt Ryan is an upgrade for the Colts, but I don't think that move single-handedly puts Indianapolis in the driver's seat by any stretch. I think they still have some issues, and I still, you know, on paper, I look at the rosters and I still say this is certainly the Titans division to lose.
Yeah, but just wait till the Colts get Julio. So
I mean, well, that's interesting. You know, we did see, you know, of course, Darius Leonard, you know, go to social media and start kind of, you know, ticketing for that kind of thing. But, you know, I think a lot of these teams are going to learn just what the Titans did, that, you know, Julio Jones is an older guy. You don't get a lot out of, you know, 30-plus wide receivers these days, and especially, you know, wide receivers that are coming off two injury plagued years. You know, good luck with that, Colts, if it does come to pass.
So I'm going to ask you the same question we all just dealt with here, John. If you had, let's say, conditions are the same, you know, cost exactly the same, if you are a general manager, let's say you're John Robinson with the team you have, would you rather have Ryan Tannehill or Matt Ryan as your quarterback?
Interesting question. You could probably make a case for both. I would certainly say Matt Ryan if this was a few years ago. I'm not certain that I would go in that direction right now because, I think as you look at Ryan Tannehill's tenure with the Titans, you know, you've had two good years and one not good year. You know, are you saying that next year is likely to be more of what we saw last year, or you know, do you flip it back a couple of years? That's kind of the question that has to be answered. But you know, I think, you know, certainly from a overall career perspective, I would think Matt Ryan has been the more consistent and put up more productive numbers. So you know, you could make a case for him also. I'm towing the line or walking the line here a little bit.
Answer the question, John. Answer the question. You're not answering.
I would say at this very point, I would still lean a little bit towards Ryan Tannehill. Because, again, I'm not sure what we saw last year from Ryan Tannehill is necessarily a forecast of what we're going to get in the future. You know, I think there's still that potential to bounce back and get him to those 2019 and 2020 levels. And if you do, I certainly like him better than a 37-year-old Matt Ryan.
John Glennon on with us from SI.com and NHL.com as well. John, last question for you here. What did you make of the Predators' decision to hang on to Philip Forsberg at the trade deadline? And how much pressure is now on David Poyle to make sure that this contract gets done?
Yeah, I think if you're the Predators, you had to hang on to him. You know, I understand the argument that, you know, certainly this was the trade deadline. A guy is going to be without a contract, and you know, you might maximize your value if you're going to move him. I understand that. But at the same time, what is that message, you know, to your fans, to the team itself? You've got a team that's in a playoff position that's beaten a number of the top playoff teams recently. And all of a sudden, you're going to take a guy in the middle of a career year and move him? No, I don't think there's any way you could have done that and not create a huge backlash from your team and from a PR standpoint. So, yeah, there's plenty of pressure on David Poyle now. He still sounds very optimistic about getting a deal done, but yeah, that pressure increases now on David to get it done. At the same time, though, it's not as if you can't trade Philip Forsberg. It's not as if there's not going to be a market for him you know, at the end of the year, you know, prior to the NHL draft, you're talking about a 27-year-old guy who's going to be coming off a 40 or 50 goal season this year. You're still going to get plenty if you get right down to it and you aren't able to re-sign Philip Forsberg. But my money says they're still going to be able to get that deal done.
John Glennon from SI.com, NHL.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Johnny, great stuff as always, brother. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
Okay, thank you, guys.
We'll react to what
about your Wahoos, Johnny.
Jeez.
Bracket blessing.
I thought they were going to make a run in the NIT. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you got to score 55 points to move on. Troubling.
Very troubling. Johnny, appreciate you. Nice shot from Rex Road on the way out the door there. For
I wasn't a shot. I was giving him condolences on the
you
Wahoos.
I thought
they were going to make a run.
You love NIT shots.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the Wahoos were going to make a run to New York. A very exciting moment for the program.
We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the tournament, start your bracket with a bang. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new customers $150 instant bonus guaranteed. That's right, you'll get $150 in bonus site credit, and all you have to do is place your first bet of $5 or more. How you bet the bracket's up to you. You can choose from the money line, totals, prop bets, and so much more. I like Gonzaga. They've been my pick from the beginning. They're still alive, but you can take it any way you want to take it. Plus, with cash out, the ball's in your court, so you can close out your bet whenever you want before the game is over. Join FanDuel today with promo code ROB. Then you can place your $5 bet to score $150 in bonus site credit guaranteed. Once again, that promo code is ROB, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live tonight on 102.5 The Game. Smashville Live airs on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m. featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to John Glennon for joining us in the last segment. John Glennon all over the place with SI.com covering the Titans, NHL.com covering the Predators. Right now, we're taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joseph on the text line says, who do you think we draft in the first couple of rounds this year? That would require them having a second-round pick. Do you think there's any chance the Titans trade back into the second round? They use maybe picks in the draft this year to have a first-round pick and get back into the second round at any point, Joe Rexroad?
Yeah, I think – sure. I mean, I think if there's a trade partner who wants to get into 26, then I think there'd be a great chance. If someone were to come to you, I guess you can initiate the conversation too, but typically it's someone wants to be in that spot to grab someone that they're worried about someone right behind you grabbing. And if that were to come up, it comes down to, if there's someone that you absolutely want and you're about to get at 26, or if it's like, actually, this would be great, we can still get that guy 8 spots later, probably, you know, or you feel, I mean, it's still all guesswork and gambling, but, and then also add a pick, which would be, I think, great for the Titans if that could happen.
Mark from Ashland City texting in says, if the Titans draft a tackle high, but Raiden starts and plays well at left guard, how does that change the opinion on that pick? It's coming from Mark from Ashland City on the text line. So they've drafted Dylan Raiden's obviously as a right tackle. But if he turns out to be a starting left guard quality player for a long time, how do you feel about that pick at that point?
Well, if he's a good starting offensive lineman for you, some people would say, yeah, but man, second round, there shouldn't that be a tackle? Well, I mean, there's interior linemen that are going to go in the first round this year. So if you get a starting quality long-term offensive lineman out of a second round pick, it was a success. I mean, the fact that it changes from tackle to guard to me doesn't really matter. So yeah, that's, but as far as like the, you know, the Titans strategy, I guess I'd just be surprised if they're planning for that, if they're planning for him to be their left guard and that they're drafting with that in mind. Maybe I'm wrong, but then they don't want to confirm it. They just want it out there that they want him to be competing to be a starter. But I think that the ideal scenario is that he's the starter at right tackle.
You should ask for Abel.
That's a good idea.
He's been very open about it.
Hadn't thought of that. Thank you.
Matt,
maybe next time he'll answer.
Maybe so. Matt from Camden on the text line says, I think it's a no-brainer to trade back unless somebody drops to you at 26. I hear that from Matt, but you got to have a willing trade partner, number one. And number two, like, what's your – like, if Treylon Burks is there at 26, do you like him enough to take a wide receiver at 26? Like, if you want a wide receiver and, like, a Jahan Dotson or a Treylon Burks is there, like, to me, I'm staying at 26 and I'm picking a wide receiver.
Yeah, there's not, like, a button you can push in your draft and, like, we're bailing out of here. Bing, bing, bing. And Panthers, you got to give us a pick. You're taking this pick. Get in there. You know? I mean, yeah, if the opportunity arises, then I think it's worth exploring for sure. Yeah, unless, to your point there may be someone that you just absolutely covet who's right there for you. Just don't know how it's going to go.
Unless Kuiper's right and, like, the quarterback run doesn't start until 18 with the Saints, then you'd probably be in a pretty good spot to trade back there because then the quarterback run will start. Somebody to try to go get, Desmond Ridder or Matt Corral.
Yeah, or, you know, maybe even tiny hands, baby hands will fall.
Maybe so.
Well. Who knows?
I don't know. I mean, now that his hands have apparently grown in the last couple of days, maybe he goes from 18 to, you know, like 12 in the draft.
Who knows? I mean, we were talking earlier, like Scottie Pippen Jr., what if he has a growth spurt like his dad did in college? You know, maybe Kenny Pickett is in the middle of a huge hand growth spurt right now. The ball is going to look like a golf ball in his hands by the time he gets to camp. It's going to be amazing.
Just going to be chucking that thing around. It's going to be good stuff. So what do you make of what Glennon threw out there that maybe the Titans, not big players in the second wave of free agency, maybe it's the draft now that they're focused in on. Do you feel like the Titans are largely done in free agency at this point?
I think so. I think so. But because this move corresponds with Woods.
Right.
This move.
The buyer move.
The buyer move. And like Glennon said, you have to take into account that money when Julio goes off the books June 1st. Now, remember, I've looked at that as most of it will be the money that you now – the space you now have to sign your draft class. I mean, that's how I kind of, look at that money. I think usually it's right around $7 million. Usually around $7 million plus. I'll look at that. I remember I had the Titans number last year of like all of what they needed to be able to sign all their rookies. So there won't, like, even with that, there won't be a ton left over. Now, could the Titans still do more moves like this? Sure. And again, the thing you had to keep in mind with this is you can do this, okay? You can do this over and over and over again, but you are basically locking in that player later because the dead money will be worse then, essentially. So I think you're only doing this with players you feel really good about in a couple years. You're going to want on your roster and you're going to want to pay them, you know, and you're going to be willing to take that cap hit then. So honestly, if you really dig deep on an NFL roster, like, there aren't a ton of guys. There are a few. I mean, there are a few guys you're like, yeah, that guy, you want him there for the next 5-7 years. But there a lot of players are kind of like year to year or couple years to couple years in this league. So Byard makes sense, but you're not doing this all over the roster.
Got a texture that says, I think we need to pull the trigger on a wide receiver first round. The last 2 years of dropping the ball on an offensive lineman. Also, are there any other veteran offensive linemen on the market? It's coming from an unnamed texter on the text line. We went through kind of the veteran market yesterday here on the show. There's not a lot out there. They've already, you know, brought Jamarco Jones in. I'm interested to see what happens on the interior. Like, do they draft somebody high in the interior? Could that be the first round pick on the interior of the offensive line? I don't know what exactly they're going to do there, but I guess at this point, I would probably expect that their moves in free agency on the offensive line may be done at this point. Unless you can find somebody really cheap.
Yeah. You know, J.C. Treader is out there. Dwayne Brown is out there. You know, like I said, you know, Sheil, friend of the show, Sheil, has Trey Turner. You got Billy Turner out there. You got Darrell Williams out there. You got some guys, but, you know, Eric Fisher is out there, by the way. I mean,
yep.
You know, like I said, he put Trey Turner. I guess I'd be surprised by that. You know, you do have Brewer. Radins is a hugely important figure. Now, I think if they signed another depth guy, I don't know if that's necessarily coming on Radins, but I'd just be surprised. They signed Jamarco Jones, a depth guy. They have Brewer. They have the draft. And Radins is designated, I think, to be one of the five starters, and three of the five starters are locked in. So I don't think that they're going to do more on the free agent market at that spot.
I'm just saying, Dennis Kelly's out there. I don't know why they got rid of him last year, but they did. Played pretty well for the Packers. He's out there.
He did. It's not the worst idea.
He is 32, but he's out there. Do we think I'm interested, too. I mean, and we've not talked about this a ton. Like, is Questenberry coming back? Do they have interest in bringing him back? They didn't tender him, but that doesn't necessarily mean they don't want him back. Maybe just not at the price. Maybe they could get him cheaper. I'm interested to see what happens with him and what the market for him looks like.
Yeah, and what's the market for him look like compared with Dennis Kelly? I mean, if what did Dennis Kelly make last year? What did the Packers pay him last year?
It was a little bit over $1 million. It wasn't much. It was, like $1.075 million. Cap hit was 1.325.
I mean, right at this moment, who would you rather have? Let's say that's what it is. You're paying $1 million to one of two guys, David Questenberry or Dennis Kelly. Who is it?
I'm going Dennis Kelly.
I mean, yeah, I think I would too. I think Questenberry,
he's fine.
He was fine. I mean, he's certainly overachieved. And I got it. Like, I didn't think last year it was like, oh my gosh, Dennis Kelly would be doing so much better than him. I didn't think that, but yeah, I think I'd probably go the Kelly route too. It's close.
We'll continue
closer to take than I think a lot of people think.
Oh, I think so for sure. We'll continue to take a lot of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got more of the Titans to get into coming up next. Also, we'll get into Vanderbilt fans. They are irate on social media. We'll tell you why coming up on the other side. Let me tell you about my friends at the Nashville Predators. Season tickets for the Preds 2022-23 season are on sale now. You have full half and quarter season plans that are available to you. You can join the Loyal Legion today and receive the best seat locations, priority access to the 2022 Stanley Cup playoff tickets. And as a season ticket citizen, your tickets for round one of the 2022 Cup playoffs will be up to 20% lower than your regular season price. Tickets for round two of the Cup playoffs will be the same as your regular season price. So you're going to want to jump on this while you can. Season ticket citizens receive season-long benefits, including concession discounts, Nashville locker room discounts, pre-sales to shows at Bridgestone Arena, savings on Preds Foundation events, and much more. You can learn more at NashvillePredators.com/season tickets. Once again, that's NashvillePredators.com/season tickets.
It's going to be so – I saw Jimmy Wyatt, like, thanks. I'm going to stick with the, you know, stick with the star. Thanks, though.
Not changing out his visor.
And, you know, Jimmy Wyatt is Mr. Level-headed and going to support Vandy through thick and thin.
That's right.
Okay, so if he's on social media complaining about this, there's a little bit of an indication, the reaction.
The rough day on Vanderbilt Twitter yesterday with the logo change. Jimmy Wyatt was upset. We'll get to more of that here in just a few minutes. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Indy Ben texting in says, I'm not sure how Glennon could call the Titans the clear favorites in the division this season, especially when the only quality upgrade they made is their number two receiver. Austin Hooper is an okay tight end, while the Colts significantly upgraded both at quarterback and at pass rush with Yannick Ngakoue coming in. To which my response is, would you really call Matt Ryan a significant upgrade at quarterback? Like, he's probably an upgrade. But Matt Ryan has not been good the last 2 years. He's 36 years old. I get it. Atlanta has been terrible. But I don't know that I would call Matt Ryan a significant upgrade.
This is where I need Indy Ben's commentary on the Carson Wentz edition from a year ago.
Yeah.
I suspect it was quite excited. So, look, Indy Ben, you're a Colts homer. You love your Colts. It's fine. I think it's close. I guess when you say clear, like, I agree with Glennon that it's an overreaction that, you know, the odds all of a sudden are Colts are the division champs here by signing Matt Ryan.
I mean, this is the same conversation we've had the last 2 years with both Phillip Rivers and Carson Wentz. This is the same thing that's happened.
Yeah. Now, it could be better. It's not a lock, and maybe I would consider the Titans the favorites. Clear favorites, I guess, does kind of convey like they're going to win the division by a couple games,
sure,
or whatever. So I guess maybe that one word I might take out of there and say I still consider the Titans the favorites, but I do think it is very close. And it's just, I mean, there's a lot of guesswork.
I mean,
well, there's a lot of guesswork with every team going into the year, but guesswork with Ryan and how that'll work out. What are the Colts going to do? There's still so much to find out about both of these rosters.
I mean, the biggest thing the Titans have working against them right now as we sit here today on March 23rd is their schedule. Their schedule is pretty darn difficult next year. So that's what happens when you win the division. You play a number one schedule.
Yep. Got the first place schedule. And, you know, that 17th game is in Lambeau. So,
yeah.
Yay. Better hope that's early Titans.
Good thing you don't have to cover Davante Adams. Dennis on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You've talked about the Colts improving with their moves. What do you think of the Bills and their moves? I saw Good Morning Football a few minutes ago. They had their power rankings come out as we sit here today on March 23rd. Number one team in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills, according to the Good Morning Football's power rankings. Von Miller in there with Buffalo. I mean, I could see it. They're pretty good.
I'm not gonna complain about that. I think they're right there. You know, Josh Allen, the way he's playing, you got to run the ball some with someone other than your quarterback.
Yep.
You figure out a way to run the football with someone other than your quarterback, who's a heck of a power back, by the way. But I think if you can figure that out, there's not a glaring hole with that team.
Let's go back to the text line. Shane from White House texting in says, would you restructure Lawan or talk about a replacement? He carries a pretty heavy cap hit. This is coming from Shane on the text line.
Well, that's a good one to bring up because I think that's where you could, but are you sure? You know, that, I mean, essentially, it doesn't always work out exactly this way, but when you do this, you're kind of saying like there's another year where you're going to have a real hard time cutting that player like down the road, not far down the road. But I mean, Tannehill's non-starter of a cap hit and a dead number this year, those were increased by restructuring him. Right. So you could look at it like now it still would have been big numbers and you still probably wouldn't have gotten out of it. But you made it harder to get out of it. You made it like there's no way, basically,
right?
That going into next year. So that's the question with Lawan. Like I think with Byard, like I agree with Glennon. You feel pretty good for the next couple of years. He's still young. He's in his prime. He's a great player. Lawan is older, you know, just a couple of years older, but he's older and he's had the ACL. He's had the huge injury. So that one to me would be. You have to tread very carefully with that idea.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Adam Vingan from The Athletic coming up at 9 o'clock to talk all things Nashville Predators. Joe, it was an interesting day on social media yesterday for the Vanderbilt faithful. Vanderbilt coming out yesterday with a visual redesign of their logo. So the star V, not necessarily a thing of the past because they're still going to be around, but they have modified their logo. It is now a gold V, and that's pretty much what it is as the new logo at Vanderbilt University. Met with lots of resistance with Vanderbilt fans online. What did you think of the new logo? And I guess more specifically, what do you think of the reaction to the new logo from Vanderbilt fans and SEC fans alike?
First of all, let me get to my text line. A couple things on the logo, by the way, going back to our choices yours. That is a mermaid, by the way, the Starbucks. Thank you, Kyle Tucker. That is a mermaid.
Okay.
And I should remember that. Also, one of my trusted Vanderbilt, lifelong diehard fans, Dane from Nolensville, says this logo stuff is fake outrage. If they win, no one cares. It doesn't look bad in the helmet and the hat. With the star, it kind of looks silly. That's the thing. There are iterations of this where it is the new V on top of the star.
Correct.
Which, as someone has pointed out, it does look kind of like someone wearing a singlet, which I never would have thought of that. But you look at it, you can see that in there. So yesterday, I'll tell you a little story. I like telling stories.
I'm here for Joe Retro story time every time.
Me too. Yeah. I always listen intently when you say that.
This is just like a story from yesterday, which is actually impressive that I can remember yesterday. I'm way better at remembering stuff from 1983. So I was in Knoxville after covering the Tennessee-Belmont women's second round game Monday, did the show from there. And then so the Vanderbilt put out, like, I was just like getting on the road. So Vanderbilt put out its like big video explaining the logo. So I actually just saw the video. And I just quote tweeted. I said, okay, what do you think? Whatever I said, what do you think, Vanderbilt fans?
Yeah.
You know, basic social media behavior, I guess, / trolling. And then I repped at my computer. I got in the car and I drove. So I actually, at that point, had not even seen the logo yet. I was in a rush, you know? So then, and of course, I stopped for gas, actually. And I looked at my phone and it was like just a complete bleep show. I got Dan Wolkin on there, like my group text doesn't like it or something. It's like all these people are free, you know. And then at that point I actually searched and looked at the logo. And so I had all this reaction and I hadn't seen the logo. And then I looked at the logo and I was just like, okay. It's a V. I don't know. It's a V, it's a gold V. How emotionally a lot of this depends on how emotionally attached you are to the current logo. So this logo that they have now, my understanding is 2008 was when this came into existence, this latest version before the new change. How emotionally attached are you to that? That's part of the answer to this. But I absolutely 100% believe it. I 100% believe it. That if that logo from 08 was the new one now and this one was the one they'd had, people would be equally. It would be the exact same outrage, the exact same reaction. I know some people are going to yell at me on that. But I believe it. I think it's just any change like this. I can't remember a change like this that was like, ooh, I like it. Yeah. About time we changed up some things around here. Never. People are always mad about this stuff.
People are mad about this stuff. People are mad about this stuff. When you come out with new jerseys, it's very rare that people are like, oh, yeah, look at those things. Those are great. Love them. And if they do like them, they usually don't say anything.
Well, so it's different, but like the Preds Winter Classic jerseys, those were cool and people loved them.
Yep.
But that's still like, you know what you see a lot now, of course, with the college teams, they have like their Nike Pro Combat, which most of them look stupid. I mean, most of them are ridiculous. And sometimes people like those, but a lot of times people like those because they're like, ooh, the recruits are going to like them.
Right.
Like, we're cool. We're like Oregon. We change our uniforms. But then older people are like, can we just get, hey Tennessee, are we not orange and white? Can we wear the orange or we have to wear the smoky grays? This is kind of a generational thing.
Those black ones look good last year.
No, they didn't. They look stupid.
I didn't love the white helmets with them, though.
Yeah, I mean, they look like candy corn out there. What are you doing? So that's generational. Older people like me are going to be like, just wear your good, cool uniforms.
No, because I think the same thing.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're an old soul.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be like you guys.
That's probably not good. Probably does not work well.
Robbie,
I will say,
very much an old soul.
That's true. I will say, I mean, I saw the Vandy logo yesterday, and my first thought was, yeah, I don't know if I really like that. But also, I know this. In 2-3 years, I'll look at it, and I'll just be like, yeah, it's the Vandy logo. It is what it is.
I mean, I saw it on the hats, because that's the thing, too. You need to see it in context. Like, the baseball hat, I think it kind of looks cool. Forgive me. I think it looks kind of cool.
I mean, the best part about this has been Jerry Stackhouse tweeting out a picture yesterday wearing the new hat, and then the old logo's right behind him. And just the responses to that is pretty awesome. It's good stuff.
Maybe what he's trying to say is we're leaving this one behind. Moving forward with this one.
Maybe so. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What do you think of Vandy's rebranding that they did yesterday? 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores the goal in the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Adam Vingan from The Athletic coming up to begin the 9 o'clock hour. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Cole texting in says, Xavier absolutely roasted Vanderbilt on their new logo last night after the loss. They twisted the V and made it an L in the new format. It was pretty well done by Xavier Basketball, I will say.
Oh, like they tweeted that out?
Oh, yeah. It's out.
Yes.
Ooh, wow. I love the petty social media tradition we now have in this country.
Oh, I do too.
All these nerds that work for the teams are like, I'm going to make a joke at your expense. It's good stuff.
The Capitals in the NHL had like their alternate jerseys on last night, which is basically just blue, red, and white, and it has a W on it, which is stupid, but they've got it. And the Blues beat them, and all the caption from the Blues after the game just says what their jersey said, and it listed the score. It was 5-2, and it's just a picture of a Capital player skating around with a W on the chest. It's good stuff.
That is good. Okay, this brings up another quick story.
Okay.
Since Michelle said she likes my story, so.
Listen, that's your third today you've said it's time for story time.
Maybe we should
have like around a campfire.
So you remember, because whenever we talk about social media accounts doing crap like this, I think of the Golden Knights, right? You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
The Golden Knights. So in claiming that the Nashville reporters were cheering at Predators' goal. Is that not right?
I got after that guy that night.
Oh,
but yeah.
Yeah. So a couple months later, I was in Pyeongchang at an Olympic hockey game. And in the mixed zone is where you do interviews and where you realize that reporters from other countries are the biggest homers in the world who cry and scream and cheer when their countries win events. And it's just written, whatever. I don't even want to get into that. But so the Finnish goal, I think it was Finland. Yeah. The Finnish goal is women's hockey game. They'd won a game. And then she came to the mix zone and she, like, the reporters were like hugging her, like, ah, great win. Ah, like hugging herself. They're like, I tweeted it out. I don't remember what I said, but I said basically like they're hugging and cheering. And where are you at Golden Knights? And I thought that was good trolling. So anyway, there's my little.
Very nicely done. I got a text that says every new logo and jersey announcement in mankind history has been hated and disrespected, except the new Chargers uniforms because they went back to the iconic throwbacks. It's coming from
but
unnamed
that's
texter.
Not the same. Yeah. Yeah. The powder blue, that's beautiful. And that's different. Like that's. If it's something that's familiar to people, that's different. When it's something completely new, it just I'm sure if someone has an example out there of a pro or college team changing their logo and it was widely embraced, I'm all ears, but I haven't seen it.
Gwen on the text line says, huge Vandy fan, more concerned with the quality of coaches/players, but the new logo is boring. Not worried about the logo, though. It is what it is. I'm still an anchor down girl and will be wearing my black and gold. This is coming from Gwen on the text line.
Well, the thing is, too, I mean, if you're a Vandy fan who does not like this, you can still, like, wear your stuff with the old logo. Like, you're not going to get, kicked out of the the arena or the stadium, you know?
Yeah.
I don't expect the fan base to just go all – I mean, obviously when teams and schools do this, it's also a profitability, move, right? I mean,
yeah.
you sell all the new gear, but you don't have to buy it.
SF on the text line says, I think they ought to tweak the logo every few years. Just keep messing with it. I wish every team did that in, like, the SEC. Just change up the logos, like – get rid of Florida's Gator logo. I have to come up with something different, or like LSU's logo is now just a picture of Brian Kelly's like mid hip thrust in his dance. Be great.
Like a picture of him in like the little lines that show movement, like gyration.
Yes.
Or maybe like Kim Mulkey. I don't even know.
It's a shame Will Wade's not going to be there anymore.
Yeah. See, but that's the thing. There are iconic logos in the SEC. I mean, the Georgia logo.
Yeah, they stole from the Packers. It's great.
Well, they did. But I can't imagine that being different. Was Vandy's iconic? Was Vanderbilt? Sorry, I say Vandy, and people get mad about that too. I don't want to make people more mad. Was Vanderbilt's logo iconic?
I mean, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
Is Tennessee's logo iconic?
No.
Oh, yeah. It's power team, baby.
So it's the eye of the beholder.
Sure.
Right. Yeah.
Let's go
so
to
if they change. So if they changed, it was still the T, but they, you know, they altered it in some way. You'd be like, well, whatever. Or you would be upset.
No, I'll leave the T alone, man. Just leave that thing alone. Some things, I mean, you Jimmy just don't Wyatt, mess with.
I go with Jimmy Wyatt. If Jimmy Wyatt's mad about something that Vanderbilt did, then I pay attention.
That's right.
Jimmy Wyatt is as loyal and chill a supporter as you could possibly have, right?
Yeah.
But he didn't like this either.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in a special guest who would like to roast Joe Rexroad. Sean Henry on the line with us. Sean, what's going on?
Uh-oh. Well, Joe just talked about loyalty, and I've been accused of being a very, very loyal guy, and I am. But, Joe, you just said that all team social media managers are nerds. I look at our social media managers' coolness way up against yours.
That is true.
I mean, come on. She is about the coolest person in all of sports, let alone in that segment, in that world. And
my all right, she's
God,
cool.
Rexroad is way nerdier. There's no question.
Oh, I know it, man. Not to quote a former president, but I – see him in his mother's basement on the couch. Come on now.
Rexroad, your response.
Nerd is it's a compliment. That way, this is a compliment coming from me. But yeah, you're right. She is very cool.
Well, I will, from now on, whenever I greet you, I'll greet you as, hello, nerd, and you will take it as an ultimate compliment.
Just call me Poindexter. Poindexter Rexroad.
Yeah.
And
I thought you're...
Go ahead.
I thought you were going to come on here and give us a scoop that you're changing the Preds logo. Now, that would be, a little earth-shaking.
Well, two things on that front. Every logo is iconic to someone.
True.
Number two, the worst day of your life is the day you debut a new uniform. And I don't care who you are, what you do. When the Yankees added pinstripes to their uniforms in 1919, I think Colonel Rupert was roasted and, dragged through the streets. So it's always fun to do, but that first 4 hours is so incredibly brutal, and much more so when you have a couple of teenagers at home that give it to you too.
Oh, I have never seen a team in any sport release a new jersey and everybody be like, "Oh yeah, good, it's good stuff" on social media. Never.
Oh, I know, it's tough. But anyway, guys, love the show, enjoy the show, and iconic things are in the eyes of the beholder.
That's right.
I'm signing off iconically to the biggest nerd I know.
Thank you, Sean. We appreciate it.
That's a very good point.
Preds president, CEO, point. Sean Henry. We have confirmed Rexroad is a bigger nerd on the program.
Yeah, again, this is – I'm not insulting people when I call them nerds.
From boomer to nerd.
Nerds run the world.
Yeah, you think about
boomer?
Boomer.
Boom. Boo.
Boomer nerd. Nerd boomer.
Revenge of the Nerds, by the way. Put that on your list, Michelle.
Great movie.
What movie?
Revenge of the Nerds.
Revenge of the Nerds.
You ever heard of that?
No.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. That's on the list. You and Porth.
Nate on the text line says, Vandy is just Vandying. They're trying to try, but not really. I get wanting to complain and join the academic and sports, but we all know sports supersede academics. I would expect the sports logo to be more extravagant than the academic side. But then again, it's Vandy. This is coming from Nate on the text line.
Well, I'm glad he brought that point up, because that's a big, from the Vanderbilt perspective, as I understand it, you know, that's one of the big things here, is that they're trying to streamline and have the same logo for everything. There's like this, honestly, I'd forgotten about like the university logo, and then I saw it tweet out yesterday, and it is very different from the Athletics logo. So now it's all the same. Look, this goes in tandem with a lot of changes they're making, and this goes in tandem with Daniel Diermeier as chancellor. And of course, there's a lot of positive things going on with athletics and investment and everything. So it's kind of all this big campaign to have this new era. But they had to know that.
Just got to weather the storm.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be like the story I told earlier, which I don't have time to tell now, but don't be like, you know, Michigan State, which four days later, like, all right, never mind. Back to the old logo.
Ryan Porth has weighed in on Twitter. Cheeks is how he describes the Vanderbilt logo. Cheeks. I don't know if I'd go that far. It's Cheeks like is like the Cincinnati Reds logo.
Like that iconic Bearcats paw print.
Yes, yes. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Adam Vingan from The Athletic. We'll get his thoughts on all things Nashville Predators. I guess we'll see what he thinks about Coach K as well. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.